The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest and Off the Shelf is an old friend, Bill Gormley. Bill is the president of the Gormley Group, and he's also the chair of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Bill, it's a new year, a new administration, a new time, but is it the same old procurement process? How are you doing?
Belated Happy New Year to you.
Oh, Happy New Year. It is. February 28th.
Yep, there you go. It's same walk. You know, I always go back to procurement's fairly straightforward, right? Everybody wants to get the good deal. Everybody wants to feel good about it, both sides. You know, you want to get what you need to get your job done. You're always harping about requirements.
Sure.
And then on the other side, you have industries like, tell me what your requirements are and we'll respond. So I don't know, you know, kind of how you want to go today, but, you know, I think we should focus on, you know, what it costs for procurement, or if you want to, you know,
do you want to interview me? Is that you're trying to set the agenda?
I like that. You know, you give me that opening, right? Is this a negotiation?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a Mythbusters dialogue.
Mythbuster.
Right?
No. Don't get me started on Mythbusters. No. Well, maybe we'll use that later. I like that. Okay. Mythbuster. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, let's talk about total acquisition costs. Some people call it life cycle costs. Some people call it total cost of acquisition, but it's really looking at, you know, as a measuring stick or a metric of how efficient, effective the system is in delivering, you know, mission support for customer agencies. And do you have some thoughts about total acquisition cost?
Yeah, I think the from an industry standpoint, you know, I think the total acquisition cost to actually reach a point in a commercial acquisition to know what total acquisition cost industry goes so far. I mean, then after a while, you're spending dollars to chase pennies. And I'm not trying to be, you know, short here, be flip with you. We can have some fun. But so from a government standpoint, total acquisition costs, you know, industry does go further than government. They do look beyond the unit price. And I think that ties into a number of things, Roger, that you know, pulls, you know, some thoughts here together is, duplication of effort. You know, I know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I know, you know, you've written a lot about it and had a lot of discussions with government officials, both from a DOD and a civilian agency aspect of contract duplication, OFPPs. Written about it in the past, and I think it's the government's having a hard time getting around duplication. Hey, there's always going to be some form of duplication. No one's trying to get it down to one contract, you know, with a company or contracts, various contracts that are going to take care of all the government's needs. That's not the intent here, but I think there's clearly areas where the government does have a opportunity. And you open this up with it's a new year, a new administration. So, you know, there are turf, you know, there's some turf angles to this from an agency standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't need to get into it. Just say it and leave it there. So I think if the people could get to their main missions, I think that would be a form of reducing contract duplication and be willing to use other sources of supply that contracts have already been awarded. And, you know, there's not different categories of industry. I mean, if you're going to award to a company to acquire your IT or your certain professional services, that's pretty much going to be the same industry you're going to look to do a duplicate contract with. And so now you're incurring costs both on an industry standpoint. I mean, believe it or not, Roger, industry does have limited resources.
No, really?
Yeah. Some people don't view it that way. But,
well, we're talking about unnecessary contract duplication or inappropriate. Sometimes there is.
Now, you're a lawyer, so I don't want to get into what
parse words.
Unnecessarily.
Okay. Well, there's another piece of, I wholeheartedly agree with you about duplication of efforts and there's opportunities there across the federal government. But also, when you think about total acquisition costs, what we've seen previously is a measure of success based purely on price, right? Lower price equals savings. And I don't think that's, what your thoughts are on that, whether that's an accurate measure or, I'm going to tee it up for you, do you need to consider the costs to acquire, all the transactional costs, overhead, whatever that goes into that? You mentioned spending dollars to save pennies.
Yeah. I think in that regard, into your earlier term, unnecessary, maybe there is necessarily contract duplication. Okay.
Right.
and along those lines, the objective is a perfect world. We never get there. That's why it's an objective. And we keep working at it. How to get better at what we do. So in regards now to this area, I think the key is, price is an easy identifier, and that's where people migrate the thought process of is price fair and reasonable, but it really is the award, a best value award,
right?
Of which price is a part of. So you can get a great deal, but if you don't, if in the case of a ship or an airplane or if it's already left the dock or taken off the runway, and hey, you're chasing it with whatever it needs, that may be a good price, but that's not necessarily what the government needs to get the job done.
It's not the best value.
And I think that's where we get, I think we collectively are, you and I have been on both sides, and it's not that we're on the industry side, we're putting our industry lens on. I think we have the benefit, to share with the listeners, we've been on both sides, so we understand the government sometimes is challenged with coming up with the requirements written to an extent where industry would like to have it, because sometimes the requirements are immediate. So, but to I think for the most part, view the government's success based on award price, I think is not being fully understood as. Maybe the government may not want the lowest price in some cases because they're getting a better value, either extended warranty or having whatever they need on the plane or on the ship before it takes off, that type of thing. Or in the furniture industry, there are sometimes people want to get the carpet and a good deal on carpet, and then they get a great deal on carpet, but the furniture is already on the floor, right? And so they got a great deal of carpet, but it hadn't been delivered yet.
Right.
So those variables. So there's a lot. I said earlier, acquisition's pretty straightforward, and it is. But I think a lot of effort has to go into project management in a lot of areas, Roger. And I think that's where the government can leverage getting the requirements, managing the larger projects, and making sure that that deliverable, meets its needs. And I think the administration's come at in a couple ways of saying, we think the industry can lower their pricing. We think, a lot of consultants out there, find ways to do a deliverable, and then they find out that once they've done deliverable, that they look at it with the government, say, I think we should be doing another different way. I think all that falls under project management to manage the contractor. And I think the government should not just relax after they've made an award. They need to stay involved in it. And that's what industry does do.
Well, that's that's the really hard part. The rubber meets the road is contract administration or managing, the performance of the contractor in most cases when you're talking about a complex, IT solution or whatever. It's sure. That piece of it as well. With regard to, total acquisition cost, you mentioned something. You talked a little bit, and I think maybe we're getting close to the end of this segment, but we can start, the role, the simplification. I mean, and maybe that could be the new term of the day rather than like innovation. How about simplification?
There you go.
Which could lead to innovation. You have thoughts about simplification?
You want me to put my old contracting officer's hat on or
yes,
government,
please do.
Government
please
do. HR hat on? So if you say simple in government, that views as a downgrade. So we have to figure out how to incentivize people to simplify.
That's right. The more complex, the more I get paid or whatever, or the higher grade I get.
Yeah.
Or
So I think if we use the opportunity to have the workforce look at how to simplify in a united way, so to speak, that's a value of being able to really apply good business acumen to procurement, and therefore getting recognized from an HR grading level. I hate to get into this.
Well,
too
no,
far,
that's even. That's not even the bigger deal, which we'll talk about, is the power of simplification. There is power in simplicity. We'll talk about the next segment. My guest today is Bill Gorman. Bill is the president of the Gorman Group, and he's the chair of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest today is Bill Gormley. Bill is the president of the Gormley Group and the chair of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Bill, when we took the break last segment, our first segment, I uttered the phrase, there is power in simplicity and simplification of the procurement process in so many different ways could lead to great value for customer agencies and the American people. And let's tackle that this segment.
Well, I think simple is it's kind of a misnomer, but it sounds good, right?
Well,
but we actually
I
know you do. You're the originator there.
Right.
So now you have to defend it. But anyway, mm-hmm. I think the idea here is, and Roger, with government procurement, is the government wants to keep it simple, and then there's that, I call it the fulcrum of balance, that they want to keep it competitive. So once you bring the competition into it, I think the government works hard in framing a competitive procurement. And I think sometimes it's the framing of the procurement takes away the simplicity of it. And you know, I've known each other for a while, so my background strengths are pretty much the commercial side of services and products or solutions, so which lends itself to the schedules program, both the GSA and VA side. So the idea of simplicity on that is basically the government can look at through the awards that are made through the schedules program, the government can look at what's been awarded and look at and match up their requirements to what's been awarded, particularly in the area of products, and in some cases services where there's a defined service. So I think, but when you go outside that and it becomes a little more complex, or excuse me, not as simple, right? Then I think then the government has to put time in to better describe what it needs and or put an objective out there. Now, when they put an objective out there, then that opens it up to how are you going to evaluate it, because you're going to get different solutions. And I think government's intent up to that point, putting the objective out, is great for industry, because you can get multiple different solutions, different approaches, and different ideas. That would be a kind of a commercial practice, but the government's always had a difficult time evaluating that.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's why they end up with very complex evaluation criteria.
So I think part of this is training, and ironically, I was having a discussion with a couple contracting folks earlier today with one of the acquisition agencies, and this came up in a different way. Now, it has nothing to do with this interview, but the alignment of this topic was also part of that discussion. And their frustration is that they haven't had acquisition training in 10 years, and I know there's qualifications.
Well, that's keeping it simple.
That's very simple. It's like the zero matter can end up costing you money, right?
Right.
So there's a question where you put zero in, but it costs you a lot. How's that?
Yeah.
And then people are like, well, what do you mean you haven't had training in 10 years? You got to get your warrants and all that. And that's true, but they haven't had training related specifically to the area that they have responsibility for within those contracts is more specific. So there's a pent up need there. You bring new employees in, and they're not being trained to step outside of that part of the conversation. I think GSA, discontinued its expo 3 or 4 years ago, and I think it's been long enough where you're actually seeing a degree of need out there throughout government on regarding the GSA programs and getting actual people eyeballs to eyeballs. I know there's a lot of value in webinars, but I still say at the end of the day, you can't beat a face-to-face opportunity for questions and answers. And I think GSA as an idea here would be good to come back and put the expo on.
So I don't know how we got from like the power of simplicity to like the GSA expo, but that's okay.
I think it's part of training. I think you can make things simpler through training. Okay. Not having training gets more complex.
Yeah, you connected it.
That's right. That's pretty tight, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's with no script.
Yes. Well, another aspect of it seems to me, to your point about competition, I mean, there's an overemphasis on process, and that which lends itself to creating more complicated processes, you know, with the effort to make sure it's, quote, a fair competition, or, you know, and that you're protecting the public fisc, right? That sort of thing. But at the end of the day, if you do make it simpler, there's less you have to comply with, and it's more transparent, it seems to me. And there's a couple items going on right now that I'd like to get your thoughts on, and I think it's not what a lot of people are focusing on right now, but, you know, a couple of executive orders on regulations I think are important with regard to simplification. One that came out a couple of weeks ago, I think, is the executive order on, you know, if you issue a regulation, you have to – first, there's a regulatory freeze right now, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. But two, you know, the executive order – that if you issue a reg, and it costs money, and in the assessment that's going to increase costs, you have to eliminate two regulations to counterbalance that cost. And the other executive order that just came out with regard to establishing task force and agencies to review the regulations to identify and streamline the regulations, eliminate unnecessary, complex, costly, you know, where the costs outweigh the benefits. Those are steps towards simplification. Do you have any thoughts on those?
Well, I think in the second one was the regulation task force. I hope that task force or those task force will reach out to industry to get some views on what is incurring costs to them or prohibiting them or inhibiting them from doing business with the government, therefore increasing competition and also lowering their costs of doing contracting with the government and ultimately the government getting a better deal. So hopefully they take that into play.
Well, they could issue a notice in the Federal Register seeking feedback on mm-hmm. their regular, you know, like, you know, every agency's got its FAR supplement. You know, the FAR itself, the FAR Council should ask for some feedback from industry as well.
So I guess the idea here is the two for one. Also, I guess that's would be a follow on, I assume, based on the task force, unless there's immediate, identification of two for ones and get those done. Also, it's like anything else, Roger. Once you put a freeze on something, you're going to have a negative impact somewhere. I mean, not all of government is bad. Okay,
right.
And so
right.
there are things that I know that are ready to move forward that are good things. So that I hope those areas, I hope there's the ability to float in front of the current administration within each agency or department. Hey, these are short term or quick fixes on some areas that we've been working on or since the administration started, however you want to categorize it, and these should not wait for the two for one review, because then that's I think everybody's trying to make government work better and for everybody, and I think that there's those one offs that can have a immediate positive impact for the overall objective of the administration.
Yeah, there's going to be rules that actually reduce costs or streamline or make programs more efficient. And those rules, I think presumably would not be subject to that 2-to-1. But it obviously has got to be seen how it's laid out and how it's implemented across the government and what the guidance is. But that seems to me that there's, to the extent of regulations, actually going to improve program performance, which conceivably in the contracting world could, if you're making adjustments to requirements that are less efficient or government unique and you're going more commercial in terms of the regulations, that there's opportunities there as well. So, you know, last thing on this power of simplification, you know, I know you know, I think it ties back to duplication. You know, just real quickly, that if you can simplify the marketplace, or if you can adopt some more shared services, let's say, across DOD, for example, and Secretary Mattis has issued his memo, you know, looking at and directing the examination to consolidate and do shared services. I think there's opportunities there as well.
Yeah, and I think that there's a management leadership aspect of this, because whether we like, you know, we're talking about, you know, reduction of duplicate contracts and things of that nature. You said Mattis is talking about looking at shared services, and, you know, I don't get too far off here, but you know, the
well, you know what? You're too far off that we have to take our break. So
I'll
we're
hold
up on
my
the break.
Breath.
So you hold your thought, and we'll come back and talk about what are you going to say? Give me a word so we can.
I'm going to talk about DOD shared services.
Okay. Well, let's when we come back, we'll continue that. And cultural issues. Yes, my guest today is Bill Gormley. He is the president of Gormley Group and a chair of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Bill Gormley. He's president of Gormley Group and the chair of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Bill, you wanted to talk about DOD shared services. So have at it.
Yeah, I think we were talking about DOD, right?
Right.
Starting off
right.
Anyway, I think it just came out to review it. And obviously that's fairly logical step, you know, to look to save resources, both people and money. So for the taxpayer and increase efficiencies at the same time. And I think there's a balance here. I think it's where leadership comes in, you know, and with the recognition that there are four branches of service within DOD. And I'd say for a reason, you know, having been in the military. So, you know, to blend in shared services, you can go so far in moving your centralizing shared services that you do have a negative effect on the culture of each service. So I think hopefully, you know, there may be areas that they can have a shared service that cuts across all, but, you know, DOD is huge and we all know that. And I think just doing shared services within each of the four organizations first before you take any step to going all DOD. And people may say, well, you know, that we're here to get the big, you know, the big effect or something. And I think, and I wouldn't disagree with that, but the reality of the size of organizations we're dealing with and the cultures that we're dealing with, or that DOD's having been in them, having been in the military, it's not a bad thing. It's just recognizing it, and from a leadership standpoint, saying, "Hey, instead of trying to score a Hail Mary every play we get in, I think we need to do a couple fourth downs and see how good we are, and then see if we can take it in halftime and see where we are, and then if you want to up it and do Hail Marys the rest of the time, fine."
Okay, well, you could be like the Patriots in the second half.
You just can't stay away from the Patriots. Yeah. You always do that. Yeah.
Well, sorry about that.
I'm not going to ask you about Green Bay, but yeah, okay. We're on the radio.
We're talking about the New England Patriots. So, you know, along that lines, isn't it the cultures of those organizations in part are the reasons why they've been successful, right? I mean, why they've, right. Yeah, right? The Army is the Army, yeah. And it's built a culture that is – you know, there's a purpose
that
to
supports,
it, too.
That supports
its mission,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly, and how you sort of overcome that, you know, in the right way to try to build, you know, up where there are opportunities to do shared services, you know, how you – I think you have to turn that into, like – I don't know how you solve
well,
that.
Part
That's
of
a
it
big
is,
challenge.
I think one – you know, we're not going to solve it here, Roger.
No, we're not.
Okay, so well, I think each service has – its own nuances. I mean, if we look at it that way, right?
Right.
Because, you know, the Army has airplanes. I don't think the Army has ships, but they probably have platoon, you know, they probably have pylons or something. They got something out there, right? So the point here is I think we got, if we keep it at a high level and do a shared, the idea would be that whole discussion here is don't consolidate all government. And so one part of government was in for a shared services model. I think there's ways to incrementally, you know, bring shared services or the opportunity for shared services together by each agency and then move them closer together where you can. I know they do it on some of the finance departments and so forth, and maybe HR. But, you know, there's actually a centralized HR process, and how's that working for government?
Not so great.
Right? So some people would say decentralize that. So right. there's ways, and I think that's, you know, you used the word earlier, leadership. And I think that's where, you know, you have to have leadership, be able to step forward and cut through, you know, some of the what's built in bureaucracy, which is not necessarily bad overall in some cases. You can't whipsaw the government, you know, by the whim of each person who's leading. But I think the key here is you want to balance on what's right overall. And I think leadership, at the end of the day, everything we're talking about here, Roger, is going to come down to leadership. And part of leadership is either you bring the experience or you acquire the experience to help lead.
Okay. So we're,
and that's my management 101 right here. That's
okay,
all.
Either bring the experience or you acquire it to lead. So where are we now? We're in a new administration. Are we going to be bringing the experience? We at the top, at least at DOD, your folks
definitely
have the experience, right? But or are you going to gain the experience at some of these other lower level positions?
I think it's one of those responses. I'm not trying to be flip with you here, but I think the idea is recognize.
I like it when you agree with me.
That's right. I'm having a hard time here, but I think the key here is, Secretary of Defense to know, you know, that hey, we need to move the organization forward because of, you know, putting the money into the total overall mission and then the support functions, which are necessary and keep everything running on time and as efficient as possible. That's the shared services area that are not on the front line. So I think that's, you know, there's a recognition of that, Roger. So it's like, excuse me, it's like where could be a civilian agency and they have their own finance, but they can share services through finances. And I think that's where leadership recognizes. And it doesn't have to be built in my backyard type thing. And I'm willing to work with other people and trust them and work out a memorandum of understanding and pay for it, ironically pay for it.
Right. So with regard to leadership, you have any, thoughts on, as we're transitioning to a new administration, where, what are the keys? My experience, people are the key, right? At the end of the day, people make the difference.
Yeah, I mean, the government really doesn't manufacture anything. So the asset is
rules,
people.
Regulations.
We get up on here. But from an industry standpoint, if the asset, at the end of the day, what is your asset? The government is people, to your point. And I think, the recognition of that, everybody will probably say, the people are most important. But the key here is how are you helping the people? What tools are you giving them to do a better job than what they're doing? For the most part, people want to do a better job. And I think that's kind of way that this should be looked at. And as far as the new administration coming in, and one of the key objectives here they put out is that they're like a 5-year ban when you leave. And I think that I think we can understand why, I think it was 2 years before, now it's 5. And I think that can sit, what I'm hearing is people who would be extremely qualified are looking at the 5-year ban and like, hey, you're taking me out of my post-employment opportunity for a job when I leave government. I've done my patriotic service. I love my country. I worked for the administration for X period of time. And when I leave, I'm banned for 5 years. That, and my wife's from Iowa, so I can say even a farmer from Iowa would recognize that it would be hard not to be working for 5 years if you're associated with farming and then you leave and you can't go back and farm anymore. I mean, it's that kind of, it's that.
Sure.
So
sure.
It's that, if you're a lawyer, God forbid, Roger. Anyway.
Hey, that's okay.
But if you're a lawyer and you're in a government agency and you can't practice law working for clients for that agency, that's you can only expect that to gain, really good talent and people who want to contribute. I think that's something that should be looked at.
Yeah. Seems to me under that scenario, like you're either going to get the people who are going to gain the experience, right? Because they're either just starting out and they can, if they have more time, or are you going to get people who are at the very, very end of their career who say, hey, I want to, but that middle group, which is to me sort of the sweet spot, the executives who are out there in their, let's say their 50s, late 40s, whatever, who
have both knowledge and experience.
Yeah. And energy, and a lot of energy,
yep,
right?
Exactly.
That's where I think they could they might that group, want to rethink it.
That group is opting out, I understand, right. A lot of areas of consideration. Yeah. Exactly.
So, hey, Bill, we're at the last break. Okay. But when we come back, we'll talk about the state of the procurement process right now and any other suggestions we have for the new administration and procurement reform, or what is it. And I still go back to there's power in simplicity. My guest today is Bill Gormley. He's the chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement and president of the Gormley Group. And you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today my guest is Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group and chairman of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And Bill, this segment, I think we would we entitle it Just Procurement or?
I like it.
Just Procurement. So
it's pretty
I'm just going to open up Just Procurement just for you. So
this is just the right moment.
Okay.
we keep going. Power and simplicity to Just Procurement. Yeah. So I think when we talk about Just Procurement, you know, if you get down to some of the common elements of a procurement is one of them, you know, people have a need. So even from our personal lives, we could have needs, but you know, what's our budget? So I think it's going to be very interesting, you know, this upcoming budget, because every new administration inherits the previous administration's first year budget. So this administration inherited a budget. So now they're coming up with their first budget. You know, Roger, and we as a country, we haven't had a budget passed on time since 1998. I mean, that is like amazing.
That's the last century.
And so that's like, you know, that was the last budget approved on time. And I think that's when they may have actually changed the fiscal year and did it or something, you know, so they could do it. But anyway, for like July to October or something like that, for those who remember. So anyway, budget. So we'll see how that. And so, you know, when agencies have a need, then they're waiting for their money. And that is really, you know, I think the contracting offices take a lot of heat for, you know, trying to get these procurements done in certain periods of time and hurrying up and all that. But a lot of times they don't have the money. And so Congress, you know, I think outside of the procurement community, Congress has to step up on this one and try and do a better job of handling the money, because we're actually going to end up, you know, it won't be long now. So it'll be, you know, we're in Q2 now within the federal, you know, January, February, March is Q2 for the federal year. And ironically, Roger, I don't know if maybe a lot of people do know this, but they don't think of the spend rate. For Q2 is higher than Q4, and a lot of people don't necessarily know that. So it's 20-40%, and you know I know you have a training class coming up here in a couple of days, the MAS nuts and bolts, and that's part of it. But you know, it's interesting that how the requirements come out, and some are reoccurring requirements for a year, and some of them are new. So Q2, you know, is the highest rate of spend during the course of a fiscal year. And a lot of that has to do, you know, we're all in continuing resolutions, which seems to be the norm now. So when you say just procurement, money plays a key part in that. So the more Congress can and the administration can get their act together and have a more timely budget process would not unsurprisingly have a very positive impact on simplicity of procurement. And probably, you know, I'd go so far to say it would cut down on duplication.
Right. Well, it's pretty simple, right? If you don't have the money, you can't buy the stuff, right?
Yeah, but people put a lot of RFIs out, like, you know, requests for information, and they try and queue it all up with the anticipation of possibly getting something funded. And then when things happen and they get the money, then they got to spend it quicker. So you're not, you know, we talked a little bit about project management, which is a key here on some of these procurements. And, you know, hey, folks, it takes time. You know, the government's no different than anyone else. You do have to have some time to put the requirements together with thought and execute it. And in some cases, some things may be seasonal. And, you know, they lost the opportunity for a seasonal procurement. So, you know, so that's kind of part of just procurement. But I can, go on.
Well, just to follow up on that thought is even back in 2007, now 10 years ago.
Wow.
The Sarah panel was talking a lot about.
You love that Sarah panel.
It is getting old, but yeah, it's a decade ago now, but we did talk about, you know, the issue of the budget process and how it impacted negatively, You know, and back then it was like, it was, you know, only, what would you say, 8, 9 years since they had a budget on time. Now we're up to almost 20 years.
Yeah.
So, but even back then, it was recognized as an issue that was, you know, sort of, I don't know, twisting the procurement system up in knots in a certain sense. I don't know what the, I'm looking for the right analogy, but it definitely.
It's a disruptor.
Yeah.
To be fair. I mean, you know, if you don't have the money and you think you're going to have the money, then everybody, well, you know, you thought you're going to get the money or you put a line item in and it just, it's, I'm not going to dwell on it here, which is just a
also,
fact.
And it, you know, we're talking about contractors, but also all the federal and government employees as well impacts them directly too.
Yeah.
So you had other thoughts about just procurement?
Well, I think just procurement, I think the government procurement's not recognized from a management standpoint for the most part. And that's, you know, I've said, you heard me say this before, you know, I don't know how many acquisition cocktail parties people have gone to. And it's not a sexy topic. It's one of those where, at the end of the day, a decision does get made on an award process, and you're gonna have someone or some folks that are extremely happy and some that are extremely sad. And by nature, a lot of people don't like to talk about it. And I think procurement as a profession, you know, the government has taken strides to professionalize it. On one hand, through the certification process, but on the other hand, I think it's recognized that, you know, that it gets, you know, people want things done right away in some cases. You know, we were working with someone for almost 2 years to get a contract, and we couldn't reach agreement. And then the agency calls up and says, hey, you know, a year later, and says, you know, we really need that. You know, what that company was offering. So if you could just let them come back in right away, we can hurry up. And it's just, you know, what's going on here? It's hard for the company to understand that. And so I think, you know, and some of that's one off. For the most part, the government does a great job. Having said that, you know, we're talking about ways to make it better for both sides. And you and I recognize that it's just not, you know, we're not looking at this through the lens of just commercial, and some folks may think that way, but from a government, we've been on the other side, and we recognize some of those needs are urgent, and there's means of handling urgent procurements.
Right. Well, it seems to me that procurement / logistics underpins everything the government does, right? I mean, it supports every aspect of the federal government's mission. And so it seems to me it's a strategic investment to make sure your procurement system is operating efficiently, effectively, delivering best value mission support for customer agencies and the American people.
Every head of the new heads of departments under this administration and agencies, it won't take long once they step in there and sit down, they're going to be impacted by a procurement. Either not having an award, or, you know, having an award and trying to figure things out differently. So that's the nature of it. And I think the more people can recognize that it is a profession that gets overlooked in many ways, and that's kind of our background, obviously. But I think that's something that hopefully this administration can provide new leadership. Because there are going to be new folks coming in here that have some form of acquisition background, or as we mentioned earlier, recognize the need that they have to have people with acquisition experience when they fill certain aspects or certain positions there.
Right. Okay. And on that note, Bill, we're going to end the show.
All right. I want
to thank my guest today, Bill Gormley. He is the president of the Gormley Group and the chair of the Coalition for Government Procurement. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.